join us for an encouraging word from the Dominion Teaching Team. Here's the message.
Thank you, and you may be seated. I tell you, back in 1985, 84, we started looking for somebody to come right fresh out of Southwestern because we couldn't afford to pay anybody very much. And we figured that we could just give them so much, they would just almost work for nothing. And somehow we came up with Greg Thurstison. And we were just planning on keeping them for a year and then letting them go on, but we thought we could help them and they could help us. But when he came, I was never so overwhelmed in my life with anybody that had the creativity and the anointing and the commitment and the dedication. And you're blessed to have he and Dina as your pastors. Amen. I know you know that, but I just want you to know that I know it. They blessed us. And after you'd been there, what, about a year, you went and got Dina. And when she came, we forgot everything we had against Greg by that time. Because he blessed us with her, and she blessed us while they were there in the music ministry and other things as well. You know, one of the things that's so unique about Greg is that he can introduce me, and it sounds so good that I want to believe that myself. If I am all of that, I didn't know that. But thank you for the invitation. It's an honor, genuinely an honor for us to be here and be a part of this Power Now conference. Now, I've watched TV evangelists for years and tried to learn how to give a commercial, spiritual commercial, and I've never learned how to do it. But we have a book table out in the foyer, and have two books. One of them is Don't Swallow Your Pride, Spit It Out, and it'll help you to find the road to humility if you don't know how. And you see, the only disease that makes everybody else sick, except the one who has it, is pride. Amen. So it'll help you. Then the other book is The Old Man's Dream and the Young Man's Vision. And I'm sure some of you are wondering, what's this old man doing here? But I heard the song as we were coming through Houston today, a song that talked about God as the Ancient of Days, and he's called the Ancient of Days. So you better watch it. You see, I'm closer to God than most of you are. I'm more like God than most of you are. He's the Ancient of Days, and I'm reaching that. Amen. I see a few hands back there that are identifying with that. But The Old Man's Dream, The Young Man's Vision deals with the generational gap in the church. And it also exists in homes, so the same truths that are there applicable to the church can also be applied to your home. But the greatest disunity in the church today is the generational unity. It's the greatest disunity. And God wants to bring that together. And the anointing of the last days is going to do it to where the old person can be a complement to the young, learn how to come alongside and support them, and they can learn how to receive some good stuff from us.
That's right.
And be strengthened with a double portion of God's anointing. And so it'll bless you. And the Pride book, if you don't like it after a few chapters, you'll think of a dozen people who need it. All right, I'm ready to go. Praise God. I like what I sense and feel, and praise God. I let me tell you something, and I don't say this just to be saying it, but you have a blessed church. You have a blessed spirit of worship. I get a little disgusted at forms without any reality and rituals without reality. And it's so good to come into a place to where that there's a liberty and you feel like that people are genuinely worshiping God, not just going through the motions. So God bless you. Keep it up. Keep going. Praise God. It's going to magnify itself and it's going to bring increase to the body of Christ. And tonight, I want to preach on a subject that may be a little different. It may be something that you've never thought about in the manner that I'm going to present it tonight. But I think you'll understand by the time I get through that there is such a thing that I'm talking about and emphasizing tonight. So I'm not talking about, you're going to think he's going to talk about a lot of emotion. I'm not going to talk about that nor emphasize that. But anytime God touches your life, you're going to have emotion. Amen. So God's touching us tonight, and we had a little emotion around here. I was just embarrassed and ashamed at the music pastor tonight acting like he did. I'm lying. I like it. Praise God. But there is emotion, but it's what causes the emotion. And it's God that will stir up emotion in you. And I want you to understand where I'm coming from tonight. Now let's get started and put on your fast ears, because I'm going to go just about as fast as I know how, and I'm going to check what time I'm starting, and I will take care of the time. Everybody else, put your watches out of the way. All right. Sometimes I forget what I saw when I looked at it. And I'm already not real sure. But, you know, when my wife goes with me, she is a timekeeper. I mean, she'll start cutting me off after a little while. She thinks it's going too long. But let's start with Romans chapter 14 and verse 17. And Romans chapter 14 and verse 17 says, the kingdom of God, everybody say the kingdom of God. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink. That simply means you will not find the kingdom of God in the supper room. You'll have to go to the upper room. But then it said and tells us what the kingdom of God is. It says the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy. Everybody say joy.
Joy,
joy in the Holy Ghost. And then in 1 Peter chapter 1 and verses 6 through 8, and I don't necessarily quote verbatim scriptures. I just kind of run over what I want you to hear. And you get it better that way. And in verse 6, it says, wherein you greatly rejoice, even though you have manifold trials and temptations. And then verse 7 tells us why that there are manifold temptations and trials. So that your faith can be tried with fire. So that it can be found unto praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ when he comes back. And then verse 8 says, whom having not seen, you love him. And even though you do not see him now, yet believing, you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. Now notice that verse 6 starts out with greatly rejoicing. And then verse 8 ends by saying that you rejoice with joy unspeakable and full of glory. And in between it talks about trials and testing and suffering and all of those things, but it surrounds those sufferings with joy. And I say to you tonight that suffering will not stop the joy in the Holy Ghost.
That's right.
Hallelujah. You see, one of the things that I do not like when I'm flying high in the sky is when the light comes on and says, fasten your seatbelt. And then the intercom comes on, the pilot says, we're about to go through some turbulent weather. And then you... I don't like that, but I have to tell you tonight that, what is this, year 2014?
Yes.
I was about to go back to 1914. That's when the Assemblies of God was started. I'm not that old. But 2014 is, we're going to encounter turbulence. And we had better fasten our seatbelts. We're going to face storms that we've never had before. The church and Christians in the United States is under attack. Have you noticed that? They don't like us. Christians are not liked. That philosophy of tolerance stops when they meet a Christian. They don't like the church. They don't like Jesus. Talk about God, but that could be anybody's God. But when you talk about Jesus, he's the only Jesus. And it's his Father that is the only God. He's my God. He's your God. And we're going to suffer because of that. Now then, the good news is, it's going to turn out like it happened in Exodus chapter 1 and verse 12. When Pharaoh was oppressing the Hebrew people, it said the more he afflicted them, the more they multiplied and grew.
That's good.
Woo! Hallelujah! Bring it on! Bring it on! And then Paul himself said in Philippians chapter 1 and verse 12, he said, the things that I suffer have fallen out for the furtherance of the gospel. Hallelujah! There's a fallout to your suffering. And the fallout is the gospel is going to be spread and the church of the Lord Jesus Christ is going to multiply and grow, and suffering and persecution is not going to stop it. Amen. You see, Job 1 and 14 and verse 1 said that man that is born of woman is of a few days and full of trouble. And Jesus said in John chapter 16 and verse 33, he said, in the world, you're going to have tribulation. And in Acts chapter 9 and verse 15 and 16, a disciple by the name of Ananias was sent by Jesus to Saul of Tarsus, who became Paul the apostle, and told him that you are a chosen vessel unto me, and I'm going to show you how great things you must suffer for my namesake. And then Philippians 1 and verse 29, that same apostle Paul later on said, it is not only given unto you to believe on him, but to also suffer for his namesake. You're going to suffer for your faith. 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 12 says, they that live godly shall suffer persecution. 1 Peter 4 and verse 12 said, think it not strange. So don't think it's something strange. It's something that's normal for the Christian to suffer. Think it not strange concerning the fiery trial that is to try you as though some strange thing happened to you. Anybody depressed yet? But there's a good news.
Amen.
And I want you to hear this verse, 2 Corinthians chapter 6 and verse 10. The Apostle Paul. And how many know the Apostle Paul had multitudes of troubles and sorrows and persecution? But here's what he said. As sorrowful, yet always. Everybody say always.
Always.
Always rejoicing. And Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5 and verses 10 through 12, he said, blessed are those who are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. And he said, blessed are you when you're persecuted and reviled and all manner of falsehoods are spoken about you. And then he said, rejoice. Everybody say rejoice.
Rejoice,
rejoice, because your reward is great in heaven. Now then, here's a beautiful picture of the early church. How many believe that's a model church? And in Acts chapter 5, verse 41, the disciples were threatened. They were told, don't you speak anymore about Jesus. Shut up. And threatened them with death. But the scripture says that when they left that group of people that were threatening them, listen, they rejoiced. When they were threatened with death, they rejoiced that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. Now listen to me. They considered it to be an honor of God to be bestowed upon them that they could suffer. Now, I'm sure that a lot of you like to volunteer and say, that's just like me. You see, Paul said it is possible to go through sorrows and trials and testings and persecution and never lose your joy. Not a fake joy, but a genuine, real joy. In the midst of suffering, and Jesus said it. When they persecute you, rejoice! When they tell lies about you, rejoice! Huh? And I've wondered and wondered and wondered how that could be. And then one day I found out, and that's what I'm preaching to you about tonight. Now then, I'm going to go to the 16th chapter of John, and I'm just going to scan over a few verses. And the first one is verse 7 that you know. Jesus said, it's expedient for you that I go away. If I don't go away, the Comforter will not come. But if I depart, I will send him to you. Now, he's talking about the Holy Spirit. In another place, he said, I will not leave you comfortless. But I'll send you another Comforter. That simply means that Jesus was a comforter to the disciples. But he said, when I go away, I'm going to send another comforter. You see, the Holy Spirit is to you and I what Jesus was to his disciples on this earth. Oh, hallelujah. We've still got the comforter. And how many know you don't need a comforter when you're comfortable? And that's what we think. But you see, there's a lot of discomfort in serving Jesus. The persecutors, those that come against us, and all that happens to us because we are Christians is not a comfortable place to be in. But I'm here to tell you the primary purpose of the Holy Spirit in your life tonight is to comfort you in all of the trials and tests and so on. So that's, go ahead. Hallelujah. He's worthy of praise. Now, go on down to verse 16. Now, he's in this whole chapter, he's talking about the Holy Spirit Comforter. And down in verse 16, he says, yet a little while, and you will see me no more. Now, that means they would not see him anymore in his physical body because he was going to be crucified. And when he was crucified, they would not see him ever again in his physical body. And then he goes on in that same verse and says, and yet a little while and you will see me again. See, the little while between when they wouldn't see him and when they did see him is when he was in the grave for 3 days. And then at his resurrection, they saw him again. Okay? It's what happened when they saw him again that gets me to what I want to talk about tonight. But let's go down to verse 20. It says that during this 3 days that you don't see me, you're going to weep, you're going to lament, you're going to be sorrowful, but the world is going to rejoice. See, when they crucified Jesus and put him in the grave, the world rejoiced. But the followers of Christ went into weeping, into sorrow, into sadness, into depression. But then verse 22, Jesus said, but you're going to see me again. I'm going to rise from the dead. You're going to see me again. And when you see me again, you will have rejoicing in your heart. And your sorrow will be turned into joy. And no man No circumstance can take that joy from you. Hallelujah. You know, I want something that's going to work in the heat of the battle the same as it does in a worship service like we've had tonight. And it will. Now then, what brought joy to them when they saw Jesus again was not because they saw him, but because of what he said. And in Acts chapter 1 in verses 3 through 5, verse 3 says that for 40 days, Jesus showed himself alive through many infallible proofs. In fact, the Bible says in 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 6, it says that Jesus appeared to over 500 disciples at one time. So we know that during this 40 days between his resurrection and his ascension back to the Father, he appeared to more than 500 people. And then verse 3 tells us what he talked to them about. It says that he talked to them about the things that pertain to the kingdom of God. What is the kingdom of God? Righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. And we do know specifically that he talked to them about the Holy Ghost. Because in verses 4 and 5, he says that the promise of the Father is coming and you're going to be baptized with the Holy Ghost not many days from now. And that was the day of Pentecost. And then Jesus said, the last words that he talked about before his ascension was the Holy Ghost. The baptism with the Holy Spirit. And in Luke 24 and verse 49, Jesus said, behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. Now, this is just before he ascended. I send the promise of my Father upon you. Go and tarry in Jerusalem until you are endued with power from on high. Now, what brought them joy? It was the Holy Ghost baptism. Y'all still here? Now, before I really start preaching, I'm about through with the introduction. Hallelujah. But let me distinguish between joy and fun. Fun is a playful amusement that entertains us and diverts us, or it's designed to divert us, from the adverse realities of life. You see, when we are going through a tough time, we say, well, I need to go play golf. I need to get away from things. I need to have some fun. And there's nothing wrong with that. That's what we do. But you see, spiritual joy, that's carnal fun, but spiritual joy is an ecstatic expression of an overwhelming happiness in the midst of the adverse realities of life. Fun, you escape the adverse realities of life for a little while. But the joy in the Holy Ghost, you have this ecstatic expression of joy in the midst of the adverse circumstances of life. Hallelujah. You see, we're told that laughter is the best medicine. I believe that. We're told in the Bible that a merry heart does good like a medicine. And I believe that. But you see, natural laughter and natural merriment of the heart, if it's natural, you know how fast it goes? The minute somebody slaps your face because you're a Christian, it's gone. Because in the natural, you cannot do what the Apostle Paul said he did with the joy in the Holy Ghost. So, laughter is good. Merry heart is good. But there's something about the joy in the Holy Ghost that is powerful and tremendous. Now, several years ago, I preached a four-night revival on joy. And I preached on the joy of salvation. I preached on joy in the Holy Ghost. I've learned a whole lot more about it since then. And I preached on the joy of faith. and the joy of fellowship with believers. And that constitutes the fullness of joy in a Christian's life. Now, let me distinguish a difference between the joy of salvation and joy in the Holy Ghost. The joy of salvation is because of something. Jesus said, rejoice because your names are written in heaven. But the joy in the Holy Ghost is a joy that is in spite of things. And that's why Jesus said, in spite of the persecution, in spite of the lies told on you, in spite of everything that's coming against you, rejoice. So this Holy Ghost joy that I'm talking about tonight is not because of what's happening to us. It is in spite of what's happening to us. How many need a joy that's in spite of? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Every minute of every day, we've got a joy because we're saved every minute of every day. But there are times that suffering and persecution comes, and we need a joy that is in spite of those adverse circumstances that are coming against our lives. Now, I'm about to make a statement that I want you to get, because this is what the message is all about. You see, the joy in the Holy Ghost is not an emotion. I told you a while ago that all spiritual things will cause emotion. But joy in the Holy Ghost is not just an emotion. Now hear what I'm about to say. It is an anointing. You get that? Maybe you've never thought that joy is an anointing. But how many know if Paul was able to rejoice in sorrow and trials and suffering and persecution, that there had to be more than an emotion? There had to be an anointing. And the joy in the Holy Ghost is an anointing that comes upon you. Remember, Isaiah said that when the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. Hallelujah. Give God praise right now. Hallelujah. That's the joy in the Holy Ghost anointing that rises up within you. Now let me tell you a little story. Yeah, I got plenty of time. In fact, I'm going so fast, I'm going to back up and cover some things I skipped over. But let me tell you, let me give you a testimony. And this testimony explained a lot to me. But one day, I was sitting in my office, behind my desk, having a staff meeting, and there were probably 6 or 7 people in that room. My secretary, you remember Cindy, and she was with me 19 years, and so this was not hardly 19 years, wasn't too far from it. And she understood my strangeness, but she had never seen a strangeness that happened like it did that day. And as I was sitting behind my desk, I had felt that we should bring the church together on a Monday and Tuesday night. I had no idea why, and I never did find out why. But I just said, we need to come together in the name of the Lord. And as I was throwing that out to them, for them to pray about it for the next week, and then the following week we'd come back and we'd make a decision. And I had the calendar laying on my desk. They couldn't see the calendar. There was no reason to point to it. But in talking to them, I just said, on this certain day, and when I touched that calendar, something happened to me. This was during a time I was going through a major trial. I had had some associates that had messed up with their marriage a little bit. And then I had another one that had just messed up by messing up and just causing a lot of trouble. And so I'd gone through these things. And as I pointed to that that calendar, all of a sudden, I began to, the only way I can describe it is I began to have a combination of crying and laughing. It's a mixture. The crying represented the sufferings I was going through. The laughing was the joy in the Holy Ghost. And for 20 minutes, I didn't say anything. I couldn't say anything. I just never got out of my chair. I wore that chair out. I was twisting, and I was laughing, and I was crying, and I wasn't saying anything. That's all I was doing. And after a little while, my secretary knew that here's another strange thing coming out of the pastor. I want to trust him to believe it. So she just started praying. The rest of them started praying and just started, I don't know if they were praying for me or praying with me or what. But anyhow, I activated prayer in that room today. That day, and as I twisted, I did that for 20 or 25 minutes. And I come to understand instantly what Jesus said when he says, in spite of, rejoice and be exceeding glad. I understood what the Apostle Paul meant when he says, as sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. And for the next year, that thing would come upon me, and I would just begin to laugh and cry at the same time. And I remember one time I was vacuuming the floor. Now, that's a rare thing. And I guess the reason the Holy Ghost came upon me because I was suffering having to vacuum that floor. But as I was vacuuming that floor, this thing came upon me and I began to weep and cry together and have another one of those fits. I didn't twist that much, but I want you to know the vacuuming sped up. I remember we'd been on a trip up north somewhere and we were coming back through Nashville, Tennessee, and you're always looking for a way to rest a little bit. And we came across one of those outlet malls. And she said, well, I'd like to stop here. And I said, okay. So I parked the car and I said, I saw I think it was a Bible warehouse, some kind of bookstore, Christian bookstore on the other side. So I said, I'm going to walk over there while you shop. And so I walked over there and I walked in. A few people were there. Christian music was playing. I wasn't paying any attention to it. I don't know what was going on. I was looking at a bunch of books. None of them impressed me or inspired me that I wanted to get one. So I was just walking around looking. And all at once, I felt this thing beginning to rise up in me. And I said, I got to get out of here. I don't want to spend the night in jail in Nashville, Tennessee. And so I did. I got out, and as I walked, it's quite a distance to the car, and as I walked back, this thing was just rolling, and I was letting it roll because there wasn't anybody around. I get in the car, and I'm sitting at the steering wheel, and this thing is still going on. I'm laughing. I'm crying. And in a little while, I heard a peck on the window, and as Joyce, she said, you all right? I said, yeah. She knew what was happening. So it cost me another $100 to be joyful in the Holy Ghost. She went back and spent another $100. I thought, God, I believe in prosperity. What are you doing to me here? But I kept going, and after a while, I settled down. But whenever I got in the car, there was a car parked right next to me. And I was facing this way, and that car was facing that way, so the driver's side was on my side. And whenever I came to myself, that car was gone. And I don't know what that person thought when they got in that car, but I'll tell you what, I guarantee you they didn't sit there and let the car warm up before they left. But that has been a real experience. Changed my life. Hallelujah, changed my life. And I depend upon the joy in the Holy Ghost to comfort me, and not only comfort me, but that joy becomes a force and a power against the attacks of the devil. You see, Jesus is not coming back after a defeated church. He's coming after a glorious church without spot or wrinkle. He's coming after a church that's not intimidated by the devil, but he's coming after a church that takes authority over the devil and puts him in his place. Hallelujah. It's time for us to stop the devil laughing at us and start laughing at him. In Job chapter 5 and verse 20 through 22. Verse 20, now paraphrase it in my own words. When famine comes, I'll be your provider. And when you're in battle, I'll fight the battle for you. And when destruction comes, I'll give you boldness and you'll not be afraid of it. But then in verse 22, listen to what it said. You shall laugh at calamities, at destruction. You are going to laugh at it. How can you do it? The joy in the Holy Ghost comes upon you. Hallelujah. I'm not a devotional person by nature, but I tell you what, when the Holy Ghost joy comes, I get pretty wild. And one of the things that I do is I laugh. I'm laughing at the devil. In this ministry time up here, you probably hear me laughing. You probably heard me laughing when we were praising and worshiping, because those truths that we were singing gives you the authority to laugh at the devil. I'm tired of the devil laughing at me when he persecutes me and troubles me. I have power to laugh at anything the devil brings. Bring it on, devil. Bring it on. I'm not talking about a joy in church. I'm talking about a joy in the devil's territory. You see this up here? Unleashing the favor and influence of heaven. There's such a thing as lifestyle witnessing. And when those that you work with see how that you are unaffected, knowing you're going through troubles and sorrows and all of the bad things in life, and they see you consistently serving God, it doesn't affect you at all. You're witnessing to them, and there's going to come a day when they're going to want somebody to help them, and they saw you. They saw you. You were witnessing when you went through troubles and sorrows. Maintain the joy. Hallelujah. You unleash upon them the favor of God. Hallelujah. As sorrowful, yet always rejoicing. Hallelujah. You see, the joy in the Holy Ghost does not necessarily remove the sorrow. It gives you control over them. The joy in the Holy Ghost is a foretaste of our ultimate victory. Ephesians 1, 13 and 14 says the promise of the Spirit is the earnest of our inheritance. That means it's a foretaste of our inheritance. That means it's a little heaven to go to heaven in. No man can take that joy from you, Jesus said. No circumstance can take that joy from you. Halisiki mahasai. Hallelujah. Hebrews 6 and verse 5 says, we have tasted of the power of the world to come. All the time that there's bitterness all around you, you're tasting the sweetness of the world to come. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to listen to this verse in 1 Peter chapter 4 and somewhere. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse 14. It says, if you are reproached for Christ, happy are you? How can I be happy when they are reproaching me because of my identity with Jesus? Now listen to what it says next. Happy are you because, listen to this, because the Spirit of glory rests upon you. The glory rested on us tonight. But I want to tell you that same glory will rest upon you even more in the midst of your suffering and in the midst of persecution. If you're reproached, you've never been closer to the glory of God, to a foretaste of heaven, if you please. And the Spirit of glory will come upon you. 2 Timothy 2 and verse 12 says, if we suffer with Him, we will reign. Hallelujah. 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 How much time I got? I think I can do it. But I've got to give you this. I've got to give you this. Hallelujah. Now you'll notice that I never say things like that when she's teaching Saturday. It's because I can endure it. I've got the joy in the Holy Ghost. Hallelujah. Romans chapter 8, verse 18 through 28. I'm not going to quote all that, so hold on. I'm just going to hit some high points. But if we suffer with Him, we'll reign with Him. And verse 18 says, I reckon the suffering of this present time is not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us, because the Spirit of glory is upon us in suffering, and we're getting a foretaste of what that glory is going to be like. And then in verse 20, it tells us that all of creation was subjected to suffering. All of creation there refers to the earth itself and to the animal kingdom. Because of Adam's sin, the earth was subjected to suffering and the animal kingdom was subjected to suffering. And then in verse 22, it says that all of creation is groaning and travailing in pain because it's suffering. The animal kingdom doesn't want to be like they are. The earth doesn't want to produce cuckoo burrs and cause a man to kill himself trying to grow some fruit. It's because of sin that brought it into that suffering. So it says all of creation is groaning and travailing in pain. Verse 23 says, not only they, not only the earth, not only the animal kingdom, but we ourselves groan within ourselves. Even though we have the first fruits of the Spirit. You see, having the Holy Spirit in your life is not going to stop suffering from coming. But what it does, it puts you in control of it and your rejoicing continues. And then he says in verse 26, he says, when we don't know how we should pray as we ought. Now, when suffering comes and persecution comes, you really do not have a specific word that tells you whether you can expect to be delivered from it or to be delivered through it. You don't know how to pray when suffering comes. I know what we pray. We say, God, get me out of this. But suffering is a part of the development of our faith. But He has not left us comfortless. And it says, when we don't know how to pray as we ought, the Spirit makes intercession for us with groanings. Now remember, all of creation is groaning. We ourselves are groaning. And so when the Holy Spirit makes intercession, He is making intercession concerning the things we're suffering. And he takes the groanings that is caused by the sufferings we're going through, and he takes them to himself. You see, a true intercessor is one, as it were, they move into the very body of the person they're interceding for. They move into the very troubles of the person they're interceding for. They really feel through the Spirit what they're going through, and they intercede with the feelings of the people they're interceding for. When the Holy Ghost intercedes for us, he takes our groanings. He enters into our trouble. He enters into our suffering. And he takes our suffering and our groaning, and he makes intercession with words that cannot be uttered, groanings that cannot be uttered. We cannot utter the correct prayer. But the Holy Spirit is praying a prayer, and our groanings cannot be uttered by us. But the Holy Spirit gives us a language. And when the Holy Spirit came on the day of Pentecost, they all spoke with other tongues as the Spirit gave them utterance. And so the Holy Spirit gives us a utterance in tongues, a prayer language, if you please. And when we're praying in tongues by the power of the Holy Spirit, we, according to verse 27, the Father God who knows the hearts of men, and he knows what the mind of the Spirit is. He knows what the Spirit is saying, because the Spirit is making intercession for the saints according to the perfect will of God. Amen. You can rest assured you have prayed according to the perfect will of God when the Holy Ghost prays through you. Amen. Then comes verse 28. We know it out of its context. But when the Holy Spirit makes intercession according to the will of God, verse 28 says, and then we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and those that are fitting into his plan. Whew. Hallelujah. I'm telling you, the joy in the Holy Ghost is a perpetual victory. In fact, the Bible, Paul said that God always causes us to triumph. Always. Hallelujah. There's a joy in the Holy Ghost that is in spite of anything you're going through. Hallelujah. Anything you're going through. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I don't want you to get in a hurry. We're going to have a ministry time here in a minute. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Would you just lift up your hands right where you are and just say, Jesus, I want this joy in the Holy Ghost that will enable me to rejoice in my sorrows and my suffering. Thank you, Jesus. I want it. I want it, something to happen to me tonight. I want to get prepared tonight for all of the trials and troubles that are coming in 2014. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. I want you to stand to your feet. I don't want you to get in a hurry. But I'm going to call you forth tonight to stand here at the front. And by coming and standing, you're saying, God, I want this anointed joy in the Holy Ghost. I want to stop the devil in his tracks. When he's coming against me, I want to stop him. He's not going to have any joy over me, because I have the joy in the Holy Ghost, and he's going to regret ever touching my life. He's going to be defeated in a major way when he gets through with me, because I have the joy in the Holy Ghost. How many want that tonight to function in your life? It is an anointing, if you please. It is an anointing. And then I'm going to ask all of you to come. And then I've got some ministry to go. If the singers and musicians and all of y'all could come. Are you still here? And here's what I would be happy with. Either of the first two songs you sang tonight, when we all get up here in a minute. And then I'm going to ask you to stop. And then you can start again, do whatever you want to from that point on. Hallelujah. 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 I want everybody that wants this anointed joy in the Holy Ghost to come forward and stand here at the front. Come on real quickly. And God's going to do some things in a little while after you get here. But just come here and start praising God. Just start praising God. Just start praising God. Just start praising Him when you get down here. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Great is the Lord and greatly to be praised. Great is the Lord. Hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. Go ahead and sing. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Yes, Lord. I want the joy in the Holy Ghost. I want a joy in spite of. Nothing will take my joy. Hallelujah. 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 Holy, holy, holy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
God is fighting for us.
Worship Him.
He's pushing back the darkness.
Pushing back the darkness and the joy.
Lighting up the kingdom that cannot be shaken.
Yes.
In the name of Jesus.
In the name of Jesus.
Enemies defeated.
Yes.
We will shout it out.
We'll shout it out. Hallelujah.
And God is fighting for us. He's pushing back the darkness.
Yes, pushing back.
Lighting up the kingdom,
yes. Hallelujah.
That cannot be shaken.
Hallelujah.
In
Hallelujah.
The name of Jesus.
Hallelujah. Yes.
Enemies defeated.
Yes. Yes.
We will shout
yes.
it out.
Yes.
God is fighting for us, pushing back the darkness, lighting up the kingdom that cannot be shaken.
This is the conclusion of the teaching. If you would like prayer, you can email us at prayerline@dominionchurch.org or call the church at 281-554-3600. Thanks for joining us.